How to enter the glory of God, because many people think they enter this presence. Many people think they enter the glory, which in case is not the fact. There are certain symptoms, if I can call it that, that you will experience thinking that you're now in the glory. But if certain things are not taking place in your life, then there's certain symptoms that will tell that I've been in the glory. And if I do not see that, it means I've not been there, even though many might think they've been there. Are you guys with me? So I really want to give you a secret on how to enter the presence, the glory of God. Now please understand that there is a difference between His power and His glory, His presence. It is not the same thing. Are you guys with me? The supernatural power of God, His power is not for you. His power is there to activate you in your divine call and your purpose, which means your call and your purpose and the gifts that you carry is not for you. It is for others, which means that the supernatural power of God, which is His potential locked up on the inside of you, His dynamite, dunamis power, is there for others. It is therefore to affect and change others around you. It is to bring others to salvation. Are you guys with me? And so His power is for others, but it's working in and through you as a vessel in the hands of God. But now when I speak about the glory of God, it is another dimension. This is a place of intimacy. Only one can step into His glory. Crowds can worship and praise. Groups can serve. But one goes into the Holy of Holies. I don't know if someone is hearing me this morning. So you will have many that stands in the service, and you will find someone next to you weeping on their knees, and they're having an encounter. Please know that that one have stepped into the glory of God. That is a place that is personal and intimate. The glory of God is there to change you more into His image. That is for you. His presence is for you. It works with you and it deals with you so that His power can be a greater manifestation in and through you. I don't know if someone is hearing me in this morning. I need you to stay awake. I'm really going to get into deep stuff. It's basic, but it's powerful. Are you guys with me? So the Bible says that as with unveiled face, as looking into a mirror, beholding His glory. Beholding meaning looking, seeing, spiritual sight. Beholding His glory. Being changed into the same image. Imagine that. You can step into a place in the Spirit where you behold His glory. You no longer see anything in the natural or in the physical, but you have stepped into a place where you behold His glory. And as you behold His glory, you are being changed into the same image. It is like looking into a mirror, being changed from glory to glory to glory. Why did the Bible say from glory to glory? It means it's progressive. Don't think just because you've stepped into His glory, it's done and that you're going to stay there. I'm going to share with you secrets in this morning on the tabernacle of Moses. Now please, whatever you think you've heard before on this, let it go. And let's start over. But I want to give you in detail teaching on every item, every color, every stone, every piece of material, even the layout itself, please understand, carries great spiritual significance. And I think a good place for us to start in this is that you need to understand that the tabernacle is a layout. It is a roadmap designed by God, for you to step and reach the presence of God, the glory of God. Please understand that the tabernacle that Moses built here on this earth in the natural, by the instructions given him by God, is a shadow of the one that is in heaven. Please understand that even as we're sitting here right now in the natural, in the supernatural, in the kingdom of God, there is a sanctuary, there is a tabernacle. And so God gave Moses instructions to build with every bit of detail on how to build this tabernacle with all of the materials that is necessary. And it is a copy, it is a shadow of the one that is spiritually in heaven, which means that even though you are in a physical location right now, please know that you are partaking of spiritual realities in another location. I don't know if someone is hearing me right now. The Bible says that I might be in this world, but I am not of it. I am seated in heavenly dimensions in Christ. So you might be thinking that you're sitting in a building in Clubview Center right now on a chair. Please understand that you're in this world, but you are not of it. Your spirit man right now is taking part of spiritual realities from another dimension. And I want to teach, not preach, so... please excuse me, I can't help it. That's the calling on my life, is to preach. So I'm going to try and... I'm just going to flow with both. Are you guys with me? So the only difference between... and what I'm going to continue with part two tonight, because it's too much information for one. So I'll definitely continue with part two tonight when I'm going to speak on the lost art of meditation. So... please understand that the only difference between the natural tabernacle that Moses built and the one that is in heaven is that you will find distinct pieces in every part. The outer courts, inner courts, and the Holy of Holies. In the outer courts, you will have the altar of sacrifice, the bronze laver of filled with water, and then you go into the inner court. So there's two pieces in the outer court. And then in the inner court, there's three pieces, but it was never meant to be like that. I'll explain why in the natural it was like that. So in the natural, you will have three pieces in the inner courts. You will have the table of shewbread, you will have the lampstand that gives light, and then the altar of incense. And then you will move into the Holy of Holies, where you find the Ark of the Covenant. Are you guys with me? Now, in the one in heaven, I have two pieces in every room. You have in the outer courts the altar of sacrifice, and then you have the laver of the bronze laver filled with water, and then you will have in the inner courts the lampstand and the shewbread. But in the Holy of Holies, spiritually, there's the altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, why did God move it back behind the veil for the one physically built? It's because the high priest could only enter the Holy of Holies once a year. And that was to go and make atonements on behalf of the nation of Israel for their sins. But they could only enter this room once a year. But the altar of incense had to be attended to daily. So God had to move it back. But how many of you understand that a veil was torn? We have stepped into a new covenant where a veil was torn. And you now have direct access into the Holy of Holies. The Bible says that we can now boldly come before the throne room of grace and of mercy, of love. Come on, how awesome is that not? But you need to understand that there is a way still, principles and protocol that I need to follow still to get to that place. Although it's freely accessible, there's a way that I gain access to that room and to that place. I cannot just walk there. It will not happen. There is a process that I must follow to get into the presence of God, into the glory, where all of me can be canceled out. And the only thing that remains is Him, the living God. Are you guys with me? So the tabernacle is a foreshadow of things to come. Everything about the tabernacle points to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, God have designed it that every bit and part, every fiber, every string, every stone, every piece of wood, everything is a representation to the Lord Jesus Christ. As is with the entire word, everything always points to Christ. I can guarantee you that. When you open your word from Genesis to Revelation, it is a roadmap that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have the children of Israel, and they carried the Lord Jesus Christ in their presence without even knowing what is about to come. And that is why the Bible says in the New Testament, for even the mystery which have been hid for generations and for ages, but now He's made manifest in the new covenant to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. They carried the revelation of Christ in their midst, designed into every part of the tabernacle, and they knew it not. Are you guys with me? The Old Testament gives us a shadow. The New Testament gives us substance. So the children of Israel moved in the shadow of what was to be. But we in the New Testament, we move in the substance thereof. Meaning we now see the manifestation of the things which they prayed, they hoped that they could understand. I don't know if someone is getting this. What a blessing. Again, I say that everything about the tabernacle is about Jesus Christ. And it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are seven revelations of Christ Jesus locked up in the tabernacle that we need to understand in order to gain access into the Holy of Holies. And the first revelation where we're going to start off with is when you stand not in the outer courts, but in fact outside of the entire tabernacle layout. We should have actually gotten a picture. So the tabernacle would have a fence around it, high enough that you could not see over it. The only way for you to know what's happening on the inside is to go through the gates. There's no way else that you could gain access into the outer courts except by going through the gates. So that is where your journey starts into the presence of God. It starts at the outer gates. The first revelation that we need to understand about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the entire tabernacle reveals Jesus Christ in His office, in His ministry. And it starts at the gate. The gate is the introduction. It is the introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of His offices. And then we get to the altar of sacrifice. And that speaks of reconciliation. It is a representation of the cross, the blood that was shed. And then we get to the bronze laver. And that speaks of sanctification. Say sanctification, which is a representation of His Word. And I'll get into it. We're going to break it open. The fourth revelation is the lampstand. It speaks of illumination. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the light of the world, and that He lights every man that comes into the world. Are you guys with me? And then we get the table of showbread, fifth. And that it speaks of satisfaction. He is the bread of life. And then we get to the altar of incense, which is the sixth revelation of Jesus Christ. Speaks of intercession. Now please understand that everything that I've just mentioned is progressive. And you start at one point and you work through. It is evident. Please understand that even the way, and it is actually, I've never thought about it until I think I had a conversation with Donovan and someone else, I think Mark, after the training we had yesterday. And I only realized then that the way that we flow in a church service, the structure, is actually a roadmap that is identical to the tabernacle leading us into the presence of God. So we have done this thing because we think that many churches is that they start with opening and announcements, then we get into thanksgiving and praise, and then we do the offering, and then we get into worship, and then we get into the ministry. People think it's just because that's the way that the church starts. No. Please understand that there's spiritual significance behind everything. And when God opened this thing up to me, I realized, wow, this is what we do in a service. It is the Holy Spirit leading us from one dimension to another until we get into the presence of God and He can start to work with us. Are you guys with me? And then the seventh is the Ark of the Covenant. The seventh revelation is the Ark of the Covenant. And this place speaks of communion and intimacy. It is a place of worship. It is a place, it is proskuneo, worship. It is where I kiss the face of God. Here I now start to handle spiritual things on another level, I can tell you. Your spiritual realities becomes a reality. This will not be a reality unless you make it into that room. Are you guys with me? Amen. So put on the screen for me. Let's get into it. Don't worry, what I don't get done now, I'll just finish off tonight. Exodus chapter 25, verse 1, New King James. Exodus chapter 25, verse 1. What I'm giving you is practical. Amen. And it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 2, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Okay? So they had to, just to back up what I said during the offering, there to bring it. Okay, bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. Yes, that's actually an offering message. Willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Amen. The Lord then later states, you'll find, and we're going to get to it, that they must use these materials that is being brought into us, into, well, to Moses as an offering, that is to be used to make a place for God to dwell in. Say, to make a place where God can dwell. So please understand that the presence of God demands a place where He can dwell, a place where He can abide, a place where He can reside. His presence demands it. Are you guys with me? And so it is our responsibility as His sons and as His daughters. If you claim to be a believer, then it means that you must prepare a place where He can abide. You must become of such a state that He can reside. His presence can remain and reside within, upon, and around you. I don't know if someone is hearing me. It demands it. You have been made out of the same materials of, I don't know if you're getting this. You have been made out of the exact same materials as this tabernacle. And the entire purpose of this tabernacle, I'll prove it, is to host the presence of God. The word tabernacle means dwelling. So God wants to tabernacle. He wants to dwell among His people. So He said, get all these things, build it this way, so that I can come and dwell among you. But in the new covenant, it's not changed. It is not different. We have now become that tabernacle. What happens when man becomes the ark of the covenants? That is when you become dangerous. I'm telling you. When man have become, I'm telling you, I'm speaking about spiritual realities now. That it is not impossible, but that it is very possible for man to become the ark of the covenants. The dwelling place of God. Are you ready, encounter? Are you ready, encounter? How do I do this? I must set a spiritual atmosphere. I must set an atmosphere that is conducive to receive His presence. I must set an atmosphere that is conducive to receive the signs, the miracles, and the healings, and the wonders of God. I must set an atmosphere that is ready for transformation, impartation, and activation to take place. Do you know how to set an atmosphere? Do you know how to create a spiritual atmosphere that God says, I like this atmosphere, yet I want to live, yet I want to reside? Listen, please understand that I'm not speaking about a dimension where God just steps in every now and again and visits. I'm speaking about a place of habitation. Imagine you have become such a vessel that is so surrendered that God says, upon this one I will abide. I will make my place of residence within, upon, and around this one. Through this one I will make my glory known. Through this one they will see my signs. Come on. It is an atmosphere that I must continually set and create for this to become a possibility. Remember that I said last week, and I'm going to get through the whole thing now again because I don't have time, but any God-ordained meeting must cause four things to take place. If it is a God-ordained meeting, these four things must be in manifestation. There must be encounters. An atmosphere must be set for encounters to become a possibility. There must be transformation. Point number two, say transformation. The very word given to the process that changes man into the image of Christ through experience is the word transformation. There must be transformation. And then point number three, an opportunity must be given for the love, the power, and the glory of God to be made manifest. God in His very nature is love. When He acts and when He speaks, in His very essence, He is love, which means that during any God-ordained meeting, His character must be made manifest, because the moment that happens, fear must step up, because there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So the moment that we have given the opportunity for His love to be made manifest, fear will step out of your life. Please understand that when you see demons being casted out of people, when you see lives being touched and changed, when you see destinies being unlocked, when you see age-long captivity being broken overnight, that is the signature of His love. Do we see those things taking place in this church encounter? Then it means that His presence dwells and abides in this place. Then it means that His character is being made manifest. And through that, point number four, impartation, you must know what you have received when you have left. But please understand that just because it's not happening to you does not necessarily mean it's not been a God-ordained meeting. You have to test every tree by the fruit that it bears. So if you see many others being touched and changed around you, impartation taking place, transformation taking place, having encounters with God, please understand that then maybe I must scrutinize and examine my own heart and become more spiritual, sensitive, and aligned so that I can too encounter Him. And that is what I'm giving you in this morning, the roadmap. For if you're sitting here right now and say, Pastor Martin, I don't know how to do this thing. I desire this, what you're speaking about, with all my heart. But I too can have an encounter with Him. Like I've seen many people around me having these encounters that will shake under the power of God. Man, that will shake under the presence of God. I'm telling you that that is the operation table. When we call people to the front, an altar call, and the Holy Spirit steps in and He starts dealing and working with hearts. I love it. I think being an usher is the greatest of place to serve in. Catching people, because you're standing at God's operation table where the Holy Spirit is busy working. And so for the ushers in the house, I do not want you to take your role. It is a responsibility on another level when you're standing and you're catching people. You cannot afford at that moment to be distracted. You're standing at God's operation table. Can you imagine when a doctor is busy operating and those supporting him is being distracted? You might not survive the operation. So please understand that as an usher, you play a very important role. You have to be spiritually in sync, prepared and ready to flow with the one doing the ministry work, and that is the Holy Spirit, working and dealing with hearts. I hope that someone is hearing and listening. You stand and you be in the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit, and you support God in what He's busy doing. Pastor Martin, I desire that. I want to get to that place that you're speaking about, where God can deal and work with my heart, where I can weep and be broken. I've heard your testimony, and I desire that encounter. What I'm giving you in this morning then is for you. Because I'm giving you the roadmap on how to reach that place where you are so surrendered and so broken, you cannot help but to fall to your knees and weep and cry as His glory just covers you. And when you get up from that place and you leave, you will be touched, changed, transformed. Impartation and activation has taken place in seconds. And things that you have struggled with will no longer be a struggle. I truly believe that when you encounter the glory of God, that demons must go, that bondages and curses must be broken, addictions must leave, fear must go. It cannot remain in His prayer. It must go. So if you want true deliverance, please attend every Sunday service. You cannot afford to miss it out, because it is in this atmosphere where His presence resides and abides, where the fire of God is evident, where the Holy Spirit is at work. It is in this atmosphere under revelation that you will receive lasting results. We can cast out demons. That we can do. But it's your responsibility to remain free. You cannot afford to miss church. You have to stay connected with those who are on fire to keep you on fire. The moment I isolate, please understand that that moment is the moment that the enemy have set me up to be taken out. Isolation is very dangerous. And it is in those times when you feel the worst. I'm going to skip today. I'm not going to go today. It's that moment that God wants to speak to you. Please understand, you're feeling like that because the enemy does not want you to hear what you're about to hear. Amen. Better get into the message. So, let me just think I'm going to start this. Let's just get a picture for tonight, maybe. I'll organize for the stream. So, the necessary materials for the tabernacle, the dwelling place, say dwelling place. The Lord then begins to instruct. I've just given you a scripture reference there in Exodus chapter 25. I think we ended at verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. With his heart you shall take an offering. So then we're going to get to verse 3. And here the Lord then begins to instruct Moses on the materials that he's supposed to use in the construction of the tabernacle. Are you guys with me? And so here we get to the first part that I need us to understand, the first revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're going to speak now on the offices of Jesus, his ministry that is locked up within the tabernacle itself. Amen. And it says in verse 3, this is the offering which you shall take from them. Say gold, say silver, say bronze. Okay, so the gold is symbolic to divinity. Jesus Christ is divine. Now, we cannot build a dwelling place for God without his divinity. Which means that salvation must first take place before I can make a dwelling place for his presence. Are you guys with me? And the next one is silver. Say silver. Now, silver is symbolic to redemption. Say redemption. Jesus is our Redeemer. The blood was shed. He came and died upon a cross for our sins. He came to redeem us from sin and death, where the second death, the true death, no longer has any effect or result over each and every one of us for those who now believe. Are you guys with me? Cannot get into that now. And then say bronze, also known as brass. Say brass. This is symbolic to suffering. Jesus cried and he suffered for us, for each and every one of us, so that we do not have to go through what he has gone through. Amen. Now, we really need to understand this, because the tabernacle, remember, is a reflection of Jesus Christ, right? Okay, please remember that always. It is a reflection of Jesus Christ. So everything being built in the tabernacle, I want you to understand this, is a reflection of Christ. It is a foreshadow of things to come, right? But now God is saying that I want a place for me to dwell in. Which means that God, when he asks for a place for his presence to dwell, it is in Christ Jesus. His presence dwells within the Lord Jesus Christ. But now the Bible says that we are the body of Christ. Which means that I too, in the same way, needs to be prepared as a tabernacle for his presence to dwell within. Because God dwells within Christ Jesus. Are you guys with me? God dwells in his body. God dwells in his body. I'm speaking about a place of habitation, permanent place of residence. I've seen many people that have an issue with this because they do not go through the process and God just visits them. But imagine when he abides. When I reside, it means he's always there. Are you guys with me? Please don't take out of context what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit comes and goes. No. I'm speaking about a manifestation of his power. I'm speaking about a manifestation of his love. I'm speaking about a manifestation of his signs, wonders. I'm speaking about where you have reached a level where you become effective in partaking in the activities of the kingdom of heaven. Are you guys with me? I don't know if it's making any sense. Carry on, verse 4, just quickly. And I'm almost done with this morning. I just want to lay a foundation. And it says, it carries on, the next part of the items that must be brought as an offering, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and also fine linen. I want to just stop there for a moment. The goats here, I'll do none. Okay, so it's blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen. Now, the blue represents Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The purple represents Jesus Christ as the King, the Messiah. It is purple. Are you guys with me? Royalty. The scarlet is red and it represents the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. And then the fine linen, which is white, and represents Jesus Christ as the perfect man. This is where we can relate with Jesus Christ as the man. Please, as I'm speaking, bear in mind, we're speaking about a physical thing that was built by an instruction by God. So if you ever want to see a manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, it does not get better than this. Are you guys with me? So these four, very important, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen, was a shadow of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So right here in the tabernacle, we have designed into it the four Gospels that is not even, it has not even taken place yet, but we see a physical manifestation of a design right into the tabernacle. It is a direct representation of the four Gospels. The Gospels was designed even into the tabernacle itself, well, into a part of it. Are you guys with me? These four colors represent God in His fullness. It represents the Lord Jesus Christ in His fullness. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is always revealed as the Messiah. Go study it. The King, royalty, which is the purple. In the book of Mark, it reveals Jesus Christ as the suffering servant. Are you guys with me? Suffering servant, that is the scarlet, it is the red. And then we have the book of Luke, which reveals Jesus Christ as the Son of Man, the perfect man of incorruptible flesh, which is the fine linen, the whites. And then the book of John reveals Him as the Son of God, which is the blue. And so right here, God has given Moses instructions very specific to its origin, of a foreshadow of something that is about to come. The very mystery and the secret of what they wanted to know right in their midst. Are you guys with me? Now, very interesting, when you stand outside of the tabernacle, the outer fence, and I want to call that you're standing in front of the gate, the outer gate. That gate they have called the way. The name of that gate is the way. And this gate had four distinct colors that was woven into it. Yes, and you've guessed it. It is the blue, it is the purple, it is the scarlet, and it is the fine linen. It carried the very four offices of the Lord Jesus Christ, which speaks about the four Gospels, which was a direct representation of the Gospel that was to be preached in the New Covenant. Which means that when I stand on the outside, at the outer gate, before I can even make it into the inner courts, salvation must first take place. That is the introduction. The gate, the way, is known as the introduction, which means that I first must have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. But for that to become a possibility means that His Spirit must first come and fall upon me. It will take some that is Holy Spirit filled, Holy Fire filled, to come and preach the gospel to me, so that the Holy Spirit can come and rest upon me. Conviction can take place and I can confess the Lord Jesus Christ. But at this point, please understand that you are only introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know anything about Him yet. Unfortunately, many people stop there. You cannot stop at the cross. You have to go through the way. You must go through this gate. There's much more to be unlocked. There's much more to be experienced. I have seen many people stopping at the cross. They're having this encounter and they think this is it. No, there's much more. You've only been introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know Him yet at this stage. So the question is, how do I get through? Now I've had this encounter with the gospel. The gospel has been preached on to me. You see, we make the gospel a very difficult thing. But it's a very simple thing. The gospel is all powerful. It is almighty. But it's very easy. It is not a difficult thing. The only purpose of the gospel is to introduce you to Christ Jesus. That's it. The gospel introduced me to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I can cry out to salvation. The Bible says in the book of Romans that Paul speaking, that I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is what it is, that it is the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God to salvation for those who believe. This is what you meet at the outer gates when you see the four colors. Every time that they stood before entering the outer courts, they were completely unaware that they're looking at the gospel. A gospel that was about to be preached, that will bring an introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they have not yet known. That we have the privilege of knowing. So please understand, the entire tabernacle, although it reflects to the Lord Jesus Christ, is also a direct reflection of you. How do I enter through this gate? Very important question. And it's very, very important question. In other words, how do I get into the outer courts? The Bible says in the book of Psalm, chapter 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with... You see, the moment that you stand before the cross and the gospel is being preached and the Holy Spirit rests upon you, and the revelation of that I need this man called Christ, that I need him. He's the Son of the living God. That my redemption is locked up in this man. That's my freedom is locked up in this man. It is at that moment that you cry out, my Jesus, my Savior, I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. It is at that moment that you cannot help but shouting with rejoicing and praise. Are you guys with me? The first immediate need for any unbeliever is not a job, it's not a house, and it's not a car. The first immediate need for any unbeliever is salvation. They first need salvation. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added onto you. They first need salvation. The second, and that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit starts when he comes and brings conviction. He's the one that will cause you to gain the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the spirit of revelation. He is the unlocker of revelation. He's the revealer of revelation, the Holy Spirit. He's the spirit of testimony. He's the one that brings and unlocks the testimony on the inside of you of Jesus Christ, where you can believe and know the dependency that I have on him. Yet I do not know him. Please understand it at this stage. And so the Holy Spirit will then move into the second part of his ministry that every believer must then engage with. And so the next immediate need for a saved believer is transformation. This transformation takes place when the moment I step into the outer courts. The third immediate need that a believer has is empowerment. This takes place the moment that I move into the inner courts, and the outer courts I will do later on of the Holy of Holies. Are you guys with me? I need you to understand how real this thing is. That even as there is a tabernacle in heaven, please understand that as believers here on this earth, we are moving in and out of that tabernacle that is in heaven. And how far you go is only up to you. It is determined by the knowledge that you carry. You cannot experience nor see the manifestation of something that you do not carry knowledge of. It is the knowledge and the revelation of spiritual realities that will give me access to the manifestation thereof. Are you guys with me? Outer gates. The way that you gain access is by praising. And that starts the moment that you wake up. Please understand that if I have gone through the gates today, does not mean that I'm in the outer courts tomorrow. It is a process that I need to follow continually. Although you have come onto salvation once, that is no longer necessary. But from that moment forward, I still need to praise. I get up in the morning and I open my mouth and I say, Lord Jesus, I love you so much. I worship you. I praise you, my God. My heart is filled with gratitude, with thanksgiving. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. At that moment, you are knocking on the door that is only leading into the outer courts. And finally, through your rejoicing and your praising, according to Scripture, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. The courts is the place between the outer gates and the altar of sacrifice. So now you've made it into the outer courts. You're not even at the altar yet. But that is the path that will bring you there. Are you guys with me? And I will continue tonight with the outer courts as we're going to go deeper and the different items found in the outer courts. And how that is preparation for you and the spiritual to gain access into the Holy of Holies, where the glory of God will cover you and remain upon you. How many of you can say that I'm hungry for that? Come on now. There's a few more items that I will discuss tonight. The wood, the skin, the hair. I just quickly want to touch on this. I'll do it tonight. I'll do it tonight. We've only laid a foundation. Are you guys with me? Yes. Have you learned something? Yes. I wanna mention this just before I close off. A church structure. Please understand that the tabernacle is a representation of your body, your soul, and your spirit. Outer courts, inner courts, holy of holies. In the outer courts, I deal with the flesh. I cannot go into the inner room if my flesh is still alive. I cannot go into the inner room without blood. There must be blood for me to gain access to the inner room. It is a requirement. My flesh must be dead at that moment. There must be nothing of me. Suddenly I'll stand in the inner room. Are you guys with me? When we come to church, when you wake up in the morning and you start praising and worshiping already, and you come to church and we start with the opening and announcements, we're still standing at the outside of the gate, about to gain access to a deeper dimension. As we take up, we go into praise and worship, we're busy knocking and pushing on that door to gain access into the outer courts. Then we take up the offering that makes part of your thanksgiving and praise. Finally, you break through and you stand in the outer courts. And you make it to the altar of sacrifice, where you're placing yourself as a living sacrifice upon this altar. Fire can be released. Are you guys with me? That is a moment during worship. You have made it now there. And as you get broken during worship, you make it to the bronze laver, which is the water, the word of God. We get into the ministry, we start preaching. And that preaching takes you into the inner room, where you gain revelation of Him as the light, the bread. You find yourself so being so open at that moment that your heart is just being poured out. You go into a state of intercession. And suddenly, when the word is done and the presence of God comes in, the atmosphere has been prepared. We follow the roadmap and we step into the Holy of Holies. And that's when we start to minister in the evenings, prophesy, lay hands, and people start to encounter Him. Is it not amazing how the church structure is a replica of the tabernacle, the roadmap leading into the presence of God? I don't want you to take it ever lightly. And I want to stress the importance again. Please come tonight. 45 minutes before we start with prayer. Help us break open this atmosphere. It will change you and it will change the atmosphere. It will prepare you and it will prepare the atmosphere. We need you to do this. It will make the one preaching's life much easier. Otherwise, I have to do it with the word. Are you guys with me? Can we have that tonight? Well, I see you. 4 p.m. for prayer. How many is going to be here 4 p.m. for prayer? I want to see the hands. Come on, come on. I've just given you keys. Hey, listen, if you want to step into that gate, you better come prepared. Don't think you've already entered in. No. Are you guys with me? I want to see the hands. How many of you are going to be here for prayer? There's still people don't raise their hands. It's unbelievable. How many of you are going to be here for prayer? Come on, raise the hands. I want to see you. Remember now, this is your response. I'm going to see you for prayer. Amen. And I will join you for prayer. As we prepare the atmosphere for something great that is about to take place tonight. That being said, I'm done. I will carry on with part 2 tonight. I'm going to call Pastor Marie for the closing of the service. Thank you so much.